Well, that's right. We have Mick Dodge right here on the air with us. He, of course, is the featured person in The Legend of Mick Dodge. And, of course, that's on Nat Geo. How you doing today, Mick?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I got to tell you, I was watching your shows. I guess there were some of the repeats from the season, last year's season. Very interesting.
Thank you. It's a powerful place, these mountains. They're a great place to show off.
Absolutely. And I understand today is one of your birthdays.
Today? No.
It says January 18th and January 28th.
No, I was born in August. I don't know where they got that one.
Well, okay. Well, there you go. I guess I didn't know, but I was going to wish you a happy birthday, but I guess it'll be in August, huh?
Well, I'll take it. I like being told happy birthday. That's a good way to go, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I was reading over your bio here, and it said one of the reasons you decided to go to the place that you are at living now is because of your feet.
Yeah, years of wearing shoes and athletic shoes, combat boots, work boots, just tore my feet up really bad. And I was reading a National Geographic magazine and about Chinese women where they found their feet and distorted them, and the light bulb kind of ticked off in my head, so I just took off my shoes, started walking barefoot, and I healed my feet, back pain, really started stepping in deep into the earth, and just kept following my feet, eventually stepping out of what I call shoe boxes, houses, and just been on an adventure running around in the forest.
Well, you've been doing this for 25 years. When you decided to take off your shoes and move into the forest, what did everybody else say?
Well, it's been, they say 25 years, but it's really been 62 years ever since I was born, just getting that footing between the wildness in us and then that tameness, the civilized in us, and just kind of getting that footing and with that. And 25 years ago, the pace really picked up. For a lot of people, it was very challenging. I think one of the things that happens in our modern culture, we keep throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just looking at it one way. And it's like an exploration. Once the first thing that happens when you step out of shoes, you have to start paying attention. And I found my awareness was really expanding just as I followed my feet. So there were a lot of people worried about it. But then the more they saw the joy and the happiness and the rapture I was tapping into, a lot of them began to follow me and go, yeah, this is a good thing. And they had great healing too. So there's a crowd of us. It's not just one of us.
There's a crowd living up there?
Yeah, there's a lot of people throughout the Northwest, and here I was known as a barefoot nomad for a long time because I would travel out of these lands here and travel over into other places, organic growers, Sunray, other brothers I have and sisters. They're all pretty much on taking all the talk about what's wrong in our culture and what's right, and start walking it again and getting a good footing with it.
Now, Mick, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from the whole rainforest right now. I'm standing in a bunch of spruce trees, a fire going. I borrowed my friend's cell phone to handle this, and it just started raining a few minutes ago. It's one of the wettest spots in the lowest 48. And so I borrowed a cell phone to connect with you.
Well, this is pretty cool. Now, one of the things that I was reading is that I was looking over your favorite foods, and it says roadkill.
No, that's not really my favorite. My most favorite is chocolate chip cookies, man.
Now, how do you get these chocolate chip cookies, Mick, living in the woods out there?
Well, people bring me. I know a lot of, I love people and go to gatherings, and people know me. They come up train with me. And so, you know, they bring in food at times, but I can, you know, I've learned to live off of three terrains for eating. One is the, what I call the gated wild. The other is the open fence lands, the farms, the places, organic growers. And then there's city food, the walls of the city, they have their food. So I've learned to travel and move through all three of those terrains, and I do it on foot, usually pulling a cart. I got bicycles that I stash in the woods, and so I have different kinds of food supplies, but there are roadkills, a tremendous amount of roadkills out on the roads, and sometimes I come up on them, and, you know, the earth provides, and I get food from them. And
now, is there any roadkill you wouldn't eat?
Yeah, sometimes. There's some that have been out there way too long, and I'm not hungry enough to for that question to challenge me. You know, it's I call myself a hungrigarian. It's I'm kind of, you know, hunger takes me into you know, what I will eat, what I won't eat.
Now, I saw you. I saw you out there capturing, catching Dungus crabs.
Yeah.
And that episode there. And then at the end, I saw where you'd taken them to your friend, and you jumped right in the pot that you'd actually cooked the crabs in.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good tub of hot water. And, you know, it's out here in our climate, you know, keeping the heat in you becomes real important. So it was like all the heated water I sure didn't want to waste. So I just... cameras were there, but I just said, I got to get in this, but it's salt water.
Yeah.
It's fresh and salt water mix. It's still healthy. And my crabs, I wanted to, you know, I love to share. You open up your heart, following your feet, you begin to care, then you learn to share more. And so I like sharing my, you know, any food I get extra, I like sharing with the brothers and sisters that know.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that I was curious about is, how is it to try to be, what shall we say, living your life and having these cameras and whatnot following you around?
Well, it's, I've trained for years in, you know, in figuring out where technology fits in, taking different pieces of technology back into the wild journey, see where they are. And for these guys, it was an opportunity to show off the spirits of these lands, the trees and the river and the elements, and they were such an incredible crew. And so it was real exciting and a great opportunity for me to show off one of the most special places in the world. I know, I'm sure there's other places, but for me, it's my feet are planted right here in these mountains. So my grandfather and fathers and mothers and grandmothers are all from here. So it was a great opportunity to show it off and show them how to thrive and how to get out and play in life.
Absolutely. Well, it definitely looks interesting. I don't think I'm ready to take off my shoes, though, and take off for the woods.
It's easy. It's easy. You don't have to really take off for the woods. It's just step out a little bit and feel the grass, and I guarantee you, it'll keep pulling at you, and that's what it was for me, was I kept stepping out, and it would just became such an incredible draw. But there's times, you know, you need footwear, snows and other times, so I do handcrafted footwear in order to keep my natural walk, my natural step. I found modern shoes were just too hard structured, and it really deformed my feet. And I had hammer toes and plantar fasciitis and a lot of foot problems, and I just cured it all by learning how to walk in a natural step again.
Wow. Well, it sounds tremendous. My last question is, I understand you like getting in the icy waters. You say that that cures you of a lot of things.
Absolutely. My grandfather actually taught me that. And he called it kissing the foot of the glacier. And we're all walking sack of water. We're 75-80% water. And when you get in, that's one of the reasons we don't like to get cold. We don't want to freeze our water, freeze our blood. So when you get down in there, it's like a deep squeeze. And And I mean, sometimes it really squeezes my granddad got me doing that, but then it becomes so refreshing, and you'll find that your feelings and your thinking begin to change. And this is a water world, and water is such, I think, the very root and meaning of wisdom. And so when you, you know, once you get in and you get a cold soak, then it's get over by the fire and warm back up again, and you start feeling that middle ground, the temperature, and I think that's where the meaning of the word temperance comes from. It shows you a balancing.
Wow. Well, it's so neat to talk to you. You aren't working on a book or anything, are you?
Nah. I think there's enough books. And I have a friend, she writes books, and for me, if you write a book, you should plant a tree. You've used the paper to print a book, so, and mine's pretty much, I like sharing words in the wind and having that oral delivery, so there's enough books out there. It's just I like taking books, I love reading, and I take them for a walk with me, and if they're good and they really make a lot of sense, you know, I pass them on and share them. If they're not, then I use them for fire starter or other things.
This is terrific. I tell you what, I certainly appreciate you calling us, and I know the new season on Nat Geo starts actually tonight, I think, The Legend of Mick Dodd, Tuesdays at 10 and 10:30. I'm going to be tuning in. I find it fascinating that you have made your life out there and that you're thriving. I understand even you had some heart problems and you're better now.
Did you say heart problems?
Heart, yes.
Yeah, well, it was a sadness. There was my physical body got strong, but I could still feel the sadness, and sadness is about loss, and I had lost my touch of the earth, and so as I began to heal my whole body, I began to heal my heart, my that loss of touch of the earth, and it was amazing for me because I began to sing songs and just get back into the heart of living, and so that's what I mean when I say it was I healed my heart. There's this loss I think we all experience continuously, and I know in the colleges and the city they call it depression, a lot of other kind of names, but it's a consistency, and if you stay sad too long, you start getting mad, you start getting angst. And I found, as a barefoot nomad, I was on a journey to seek out the not mad, and to follow my feet and allow that earth to teach me and how to heal that.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, you are on quite a journey. I'm sure after this series is finished, you're going to have a lot more people up there in the woods with you, Mick.
Well, my name is Dodge. I was born a Dodge. I know how to dodge it.
All right. Well, Mick Dodge, thanks so much for calling us this morning. I sure hope everybody's going to tune in to The Legend of Mick Dodge tonight at 10 and also at 10:30. Thanks so much for calling us, Mick.
Thank you, Ann. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. There is Mick Dodge tonight, 10 and 10:30. You'll be able to follow him along his travails up there in the Pacific Rim at the Olympic Forest, I think it is.